smaller bit from here, but it'd be obvious it was my ceiling. If I haven't intimidated the other bidders off by now, I doubt I'll do it with a dinky little thing.
Current bid is 40,000 standard. Do I have anyone else?
The auctioneer asked when no one responded.
I'll leave it at that and conclude the auction.
The sharp rap of a gavel signified that Felix now owned a zoo exhibit's worth of elves.
We'll have a word from the Emperor's personal slave handler, and then the auction can finish out, called the auctioneer.
Go ahead and get them back to Yosemite as soon as this is over, Felicity, Felix said, facing her. Buy a building if you have to, but get our people stashed away where they can't be seen. I don't want the Emperor to think Vince somehow conned him on this one. I imagine he has spies in the city.
But we can check the thoughts of people. We should be able to find spies, shouldn't we? With both dryads and dragons.
Felicity shook her head.
Uh-huh.
And I can circumvent both of them with a Legionnaire's ring. You yourself wear one, Felix said.
Ah, yes. Okay, I'll get it taken care of immediately after this, Felicity said.
Great, thanks.
Turning his focus back to the stage, Felix froze. Standing on the stage was the man he recognized. A man he now remembered, could put a name to. Daniel. He was there at the summit. Felix ducked his head down as subtly as he could.
Felicity, put a glamour on me quick. Make me look like anyone but me.
I think he already saw you,
Goldie said before Felicity could respond.
Why's that?
Felix asked, looking up to her.
He's staring at you and isn't speaking,
Goldie said. Sighing, Felix sat upright. Daniel was indeed staring at him. Smiling at the man, Felix waved a hand negligently, as if seeing Daniel was unsurprising.
Mr. Seville, aren't you going to speak for the Emperor? Called the auctioneer.
Seville?
Felicity asked, her tone turning cold at the edge. Daniel's eyes flicked to Felicity, then back to Felix. Then Daniel brought his hand up, and a ball of what looked like static formed there. He flipped his hand forward, and the ball of crackling fuzz zipped toward Felix. Felicity batted it to one side, while Felix dove past Goldie and rolled down into the gap between the seats. A boom sounded as the ball of static struck the ceiling instead of Felix. As if it were made of a child's interlocking brick toys, the ceiling simply disintegrated, leaving behind small, jagged squares. The mass of energy turned into motes of green and vanished as if it had never been there. Then a giant peal of thunder cracked the air in almost the same position. A beautiful, white-winged woman with dark hair and dark eyes was simply there where she hadn't been moments ago. Wielding a lance lazily in one hand, she brought up her other one. A wad of black lightning formed there. She tossed it ahead of herself and it scorched through the air toward Daniel, who winked out of existence with one hand in his pocket. His clothes, some minor items, and a few coins clattered to the ground where he'd been. The winged woman made a harumphing noise and landed with a soft pat in the aisle behind Felix's seat. Her eyes moved to him, skewering him to the ground.
I know you,
she said, her eyebrows drawing together. Then her eyes left him and began to scour the room.
Runner! I'm going to need a hand sorting through this, said the woman. And one of your pet projects is here where they shouldn't be. The designation doesn't match.
The world became still, turning dark gray in a single heartbeat. Felix couldn't even hear the sound of breathing. Goldie looked like a corpse, her chest no longer rising or falling. No one's was. Only Felix seemed to be able to breathe and move. Looming over him was his benefactor.
Right then. You and your brother are becoming positively annoying, said the man. I have half a mind to leave you here, but I think you'd end up causing more mischief here than on your own plane. In fact, now that I'm looking at it, you've been missing from your home for almost 3 months. What happened?
3 months?
Runner, said the angel, diverting the conversation. It was the same one as last time that you almost caught. He came back.
Did he now?
Said the man, who is apparently named Runner.
Well, that's a shit show, ain't it?
Especially if he recognized this one here.
What? Felix asked when Runner indicated him.
He also did that,
the angel said, pointing at the ceiling. Runner looked up and sighed.
Right then. Shit show would have been easier. This is now a clown fiesta.
Chapter 22. Display. Felix got his feet and looked around. Everyone was frozen in place in the grayness, as if they'd had their souls stolen away. Reaching out, he pressed a finger to Goldie's face, her warm skin depressed under his fingertip. Her head didn't move much, but she was clearly still human. She hadn't been turned to stone or anything. He let his hand drop and her head moved back to where it had been, her skin resuming its original shape.
"Hey, don't get any funny ideas," Runner said as he walked to the front of the room.
"What did you do?"
Felix asked, turning around and looking at Felicity. She was standing above where he'd fallen. Her arm was thrown out in front of herself, magic suspended in midair. A shield was rapidly forming around Felix and moving up toward Felicity.
"I put the world in time out. It's having a nice nap time right now," Runner said, sorting through the items that had fallen to the ground. "Why? You want to go nap-nap too?"
No. Just curious. Sorry.
Felix suddenly felt completely overwhelmed. With a fingertip, he gently pressed Felicity's lip. It shifted under the weight of his finger. She felt normal to the touch, just like Goldie had. Reaching out, he pushed a hand to her shoulder and gave her a very light shove. Her upper body moved, then returned to its original location. It was a strange state she was in.
Funny ideas.
Ha! I wouldn't have even had any if you hadn't put my mind on that path in the first place.
Felix shook his head and tore his eyes away from Felicity's face.
"I suppose that's true," Runner said, picking up something from the pile of clothes. "But you still took your thoughts there anyway. I only pointed in a direction."
"Yes, he can read your mind. Yes, he's an ass. Yes, he's very confusing. But he also owes you a few answers, so press him," said the angel.
Then she sighed and leveled her spear at Runner.
"I'm going to see if I can trace this back somewhere, Lord Husband. Do not forget that it's that I have your time tonight, and have arranged it to be so."
Then she seemed to turn into herself and vanish with a soft pop. Nothing more was left of her.
"Her time tonight, nir-nir-nir," Runner said in a mocking tone, bobbing his head back and forth, as if I'd forgotten.
Grumping, Runner stood up and looked at Felix. Then he gave him a wide smile.
"I imagine you've spoken to your brother?" Runner asked.
Felix looked away from the god to all the frozen people around him.
"Yes, he mentioned you briefly. I assumed you were one and the same," Felix said. "It only makes sense when I think about it."
"Hm, I suppose it does at that,"
Runner said, and wandered over to stand next to Felix.
"You froze the world?"
Felix asked, still not quite able to comprehend that.
"I froze all of existence, actually. Your home plane, this one. Every plane is frozen in time right now," Runner said.
He walked up to Chris and leaned in close to the dragon, looking her over.
"This one's a treat for the eyes, isn't she? I like the horns, kind of like handlebars," Runner said.
Then his eyes slid over to Goldie.
"And that one looks like it fell out of a damn skin mag."
Standing up, Runner looked briefly to one side, seemingly inspecting nothing.
"Of course she did that. Because she'd think it was hilarious. I could have checked earlier, I guess. That's on me," Runner said to what Felix thought was nobody.
"Is he crazy?"
"No, I'm not. I'm just realizing that a lot more slipped through my fingers than I thought, and I owe my wife a punishment. Hopefully one she won't enjoy this time," Runner said, then looked back to Felix. "So, looks like you've been trapped in here for about a week in plain time. Been gone for 3 months in your home plane's time. Someone was playing with the time involved. And before you ask, Patricia is kind of a question I don't want to answer right now, so don't bother. Maybe later."
"I had no idea. The portal closed and we've been unable to open it. Apparently from either side," Felix said.
He hadn't realized it until it was said, but he had been wondering if he could ask about Patricia.
"Yes, your people have tried a number of things to open it," Runner said.
"Any chance you can just cut open a slit in the plane for me to slide through?" Felix asked. "It's starting to feel like me against an entire pantheon at this point."
"It is. You really are fighting a pantheon. It's mildly disconcerting to me that they're all working against a single mortal. But that's how it is, Runner said simply. And no, I can't just let you back through. As long as I abide by the commandments I put down, they have to adhere to them as well. They cannot violate them.
Felix felt the blood rush to his head suddenly, and he clenched his hands at his side. He wanted to shout at this god, to scream at him with his bloody frustration. He'd lost 3 months now. The special runoff for the Prime Minister would be over. His people would have had to face the antitrust case without him, and then the anti-religion case as well in the summit. This god, this runner, was grating on him, and he wants to argue semantics.
Though there was one instance when, realistically, it probably should have opened. I have a feeling someone interfered there, Runner said. Not exactly violating the laws I put down, but probably pushing the gray area a bit too far.
Felix had his tongue stuck between his teeth. It took everything he had to maintain his composure and not speak right now.
Tell you what I'll do. I'll reverse the flow of time back to that point and let you cross over at that moment in time, Runner said. That meets the regulations I put down and gives you what you want, and I don't have to look at that grumpy face of yours.
And how much time would I lose at that juncture from the point when I came here? Felix asked.
About 3 weeks. More than enough time to get back to Legion and set things as you would wish them.
And what about this world? You can't really push it back, can you? If you rewound time here, it would create a paradox. I mean, if you rewound time, the initiating event that would cause you to rewind time wouldn't happen. Right? Nothing would happen and we'd just be right back here. I mean, that's logical, isn't it? Felix asked.
Right. This world will remain the same, Runner confirmed after staring at Felix for a full 3 seconds.
And I want you to keep the rest of all existence, every plane, frozen, until I can meet with the Emperor, Felix said.
Runner raised his eyebrows at that, watching Felix.
If you can't police your own policies, and I have to keep suffering for them, I think I deserve some sort of remuneration, Felix said, unwilling to budge on this. I promised Vince I'd see the Emperor. He's my brother. I won't break that promise.
Looking to one side, Runner was lost in his own thoughts. Or so Felix believed.
He didn't dare think anything about the situation otherwise, since it was clear Runner would simply pluck the thoughts right out of his head, as if they were chat bubbles in a comic book.
Fine, Runner turned back to Felix. 1 day's worth of time to meet the Emperor and portal back to Vince to give him the news. Then I open a portal for you to go home. What happens after that is on you.
Felix let out a slow breath as subtly as he could.
It's a deal, he said.
Runner waved a hand at him and moved around to stand outside of the row.
Go ahead and lie back down where you were. We'll get this show on the road, Runner said. As far as Daniel goes, or Seville, as Felicity and Vince know him, don't speak of him. To anyone. At all. It never happened. I'm gonna poke around in your wife's head a bit and remove some memories.
She's not my wife, and I've seen him on my own plane, Felix said, getting down on the ground. What do you want me to do if I see him again?
Ha! I tried that game too. Didn't work out very well. Now I have more wives than days in the week. As to seeing him again, just call out to me. Say my name, Runner Norwood, said the god.
He moved around behind the seats to look down at Felix. Felix shifted around on the ground, getting as comfortable as he could.
Great, that looks about right, Runner said. With all that, I'll see you in a day. I'll also make sure this world and your home world have matching times going forward. And here's a parting gift. Give her a kiss and a squeeze. She'll like that.
Reaching over, he slapped Felicity on the side of her shoulder. The world jumped to color again, and the shield Felicity was casting winked out as she toppled toward him unexpectedly. Unbalanced and unable to recover, Felicity collapsed right atop him. At the same time, Chris and Goldie launched to their feet, moving to stand above Felix. Not expecting Felicity to crash into him, Felix hadn't been able to brace himself and the wind was knocked out of him.
Oh, I'm sorry, Felix. I don't know what happened,
Felicity said, lifting her head up to look around. Her hands were pressed to his shoulders and she was practically laid out flat on top of him.
He's gone, Goldie said. We should leave after we get our purchases,
Chris added. Felix could only nod.
Fucking Runner.
Somehow Felix had kept his mouth shut about everything. He hadn't told anyone about his encounter with the god known as Runner. That everything had actually already gone wrong, and he'd been locked out of his home for 3 months. This was more like having a get-out-of-jail-free card and using it. Felix had erred in not treating the portal as a trap. That he could literally be cut off from his people as he had been. He hadn't been paranoid enough.
"Leave your weapons here," said a guard, with a large rifle in his hands.
Felix looked it over and then back to the guard. His weapon looked like something from a bygone era that had been modified extensively. Except the modifications looked more like they'd come from his own world, or somewhere very similar. All right. So there are some portal games going on here. Someone else is playing portal emissary for the Emperor, as I am for Vince. Except they're keeping it limited, while I sent over Max, basically. Felix unfastened his hunting knife and pistol holster, then placed them on the tray that was set to one side of the big double doors. They were standing outside the entry to the keep for the Emperor. Felix had been singularly unimpressed with the giant, paranoid fort of cannons pointing out in every direction. It looked like something a crazy person would put together and somehow think they were safe. All it would take is a few dragons with bombs and this whole building would be gone.
"I have no weapons," Chris said simply, holding up her hands.
"Nor I,"
Goldie agreed.
"Or me,"
Felicity offered. The two guards looked at the single pistol and the knife on the tray, then to the women. They were all dressed in tight clothes, leather armor for the dragons, and a dress for Felicity. There wasn't really much room for them to hide anything anywhere. For a brief moment, the guards seemed to contemplate frisking the women. That quickly ended when a rather bright aura of anger began to ooze out of Goldie. She apparently had caught the attention they were giving her and was displeased.
"Fine, go in then. The dragons will wait in the antechamber. You can take the elf to see the Emperor, though," said the guard, who hadn't spoken yet.
"I will not leave my nest, mate,"
Chris said, her voice pitched low and deadly. There was a growling edge to it that Felix didn't want to consider.
"Nor I,"
Goldie agreed, her voice sounding much more normal.
"Then you'll not be seeing the Emperor," the guard said simply.
"Is there any way you'd allow them in with me? I prefer not having to beg you for your kindness, but I'm not much of a warrior and depend on their company, much as the Emperor does for you," Felix said.
He imagined the guards wouldn't mind letting Felix debase himself to a degree in asking.
"Huh. Well, if they swore to their dragon's word that they wouldn't hurt the Emperor, we could let them in, right?"
asked the first guard to the second guard.
"You see? Perfect," Felix said. "Girls, please swear to the nice guards on your dragon word that you'll not harm the Emperor during this visit unless in self-defense."
Felix turned back to the guards. "That'd be agreeable and fair, would it not? For the emissaries of a friendly country?" The two guards seemed to be mulling that over individually.
"Great," Felix said, not giving them a chance to respond. "Ladies, go ahead and swear to that, and let's head on in."
Chris and Goldie glanced at each other, then both spoke at the same time.
"I do so swear as you stated on my dragon's word."
Not waiting for the guards, Felix immediately moved into the room. Unable to respond, or at least unwilling to stop him physically, the guards let him proceed, his bodyguards trailing along behind him as he went in. Several weapon-sporting soldiers were positioned along the hall as it wound deeper into the cannon fort. They all wielded similar weapons to those Felix had seen at the front door. They were all older weapons that had all been modified heavily into clumsy, would-be current tech. Each had a sword belted at their waist as well. When Felix really looked at them, though, they all had the look of men living on their position, that their job had become rote, expected, taken for granted. No one challenged the fact that two dragons were walking down the hall with Felix. Everyone seemed intent to guard their post, stuck in their own affairs. Perhaps it was something the Emperor himself encouraged, that he didn't want individual or executive thinkers amongst his people. A failing on his part and a short-sighted loss. Walking sedately along, Felix took turn after turn, one twisted corridor after another. Finally, he reached an arched doorway that led into a massive throne room.
It was decorated in a style Felix would only describe as self-interest, as it mostly contained things one would associate with wealth. Banners, weapons, armor, expensive knick-knacks, platters of food that looked untouched, innumerable objects locked away but visible in glass cases.
Well, aren't you a self-important little toad of a man?
The guards here were different than the ones outside.
These were armed with rifles, clearly not from this plane, that looked as if they'd been imported directly rather than modified. Several women stood at the Emperor's sides, all naked as the day they were born.
At least he values my opinion. Otherwise, he wouldn't have planned all this. He wanted to influence me.
Clasping his hands behind his back, Felix walked lazily up toward the throne. He was here as an invited emissary, not as a subject. Reaching the foot of the dais, several steps beyond a rather thick rug, Felix bowed at the waist to the Emperor.
Emperor, I am Felix Campbell, brother of Vince. I am here as his emissary, Felix said simply before standing up straight.
Sitting in his oversized throne was the Emperor himself. He was a small man, with small eyes and a frown, black hair, dark eyes, and a thin face.
You dare? He said around a scowl.
Dare what? Felix asked.
You dare not kneel before us? Asked the Emperor.
Felix frowned for a moment, considering the man. Given all he'd seen and heard of the man, he was truly concerned with how he was viewed. In Felix's world, this was a man who had reached the height of the Peter Principle, who practically lived in it. He reached the level of incompetence that would prevent him from achieving anything further. Surrounding himself with all the trappings of power that he himself respected and wanted, putting people around him that would serve and lick his boots but never challenge him. Except his position had been attained through birthright. There was no one to cast him down from the top.
I am not a subject to the Empire, Felix said simply. I wasn't even born on this continent. I'm not even a citizen of Yosemite.
The Emperor shuddered in his seat, rage and anger exuding from his posture.
You will kneel now before us, or we will have you kneel, said the Emperor.
All right. I suppose this is done. It's nothing more than him wanting someone to come kiss his ring and make him feel important. Possibly because Yosemite stomped out the enemy armies and came back safe. Whereas the Emperor never beats his foe, and he ends up having to rely on others. Other countries and men stronger than him. He looks incredibly weak.
Now that Felix thought about it, he realized Daniel Seville had likely been someone in this court. Someone the Emperor had relied on. Or at least here in some capacity.
This is pointless. He just wants someone to bend the knee. Time to go.
I see. I'll let Vince know that your desire to speak with him was only to have him kneel before you, Felix said. I'll be taking my leave. Good day to you, Emperor.
Felix turned on his heel and started to walk away.
You will stop! We have not dismissed you!
Shouted the Emperor. Felix didn't respond. He kept walking for the exit.
Stop him! Bring him before us and make him kneel!
Squealed the Emperor in his high-pitched voice.
We'll send his head back to his brother as a present!
Drop a cloud or something to obscure what we're doing. Don't attack him. He's not worth the risk, Felix said to Felicity and the dragons. Then open a portal. We'll just open it up and be gone. There's nothing left to do here.
Felicity nodded, her eyes moving to the Emperor. The dragons looked like they wanted to jump over to the Emperor and pull his head off. Curling her fingers, Felicity made a gesture, and a dense fog exploded out from her. It literally swarmed over everything and everyone, blanketing the entire throne room in dense, split-pea soup-like fog. Then a portal opened in front of Felix. It led straight back to Yosemite.
Everyone in,
he said, and he stepped through. Moving to one side of the portal, Felix waited. Chris and Goldie came through. Then Felicity did as well. She turned back toward her portal and made a small gesture, and it closed up as if it had never been there.
Well done, though I suppose that was a failure, Felix said with a sigh. The Emperor just wanted someone there to kiss his ring and little else.
Around him, dryads were moving in to check on him. Felix caught sight of one exiting the hall and vanishing around a corner.
off to tell Vince we're back. Well, that was about as bad as it could have been. Other than the thing with Runner, that is. Going home sounds great.
As if on cue to his thoughts, the dormant portal sprang to life with a small crack of thunder. There, standing on the other side, seemed to be every single magical caster in Legion that could fit in the portal receival room.
Oh, I see. I can definitely agree on how that probably should have opened. That kind of magical power would have poked a hole right through if Felicia had made some type of input or funneling contraption.
Chapter 23. Villainy.
Felix immediately turned, walked to his home plane side of the portal, and looked back through to Vince.
Chris, go get the other dragons, Felix said to the black dragon.
She nodded and fled out of the hallway immediately.
Goldie, go get the elves. Felicity, go get Vince, Felix ordered.
The dragon woman lifted her chin, then nodded with a smile.
Time to see our home nest, mate,
murmured the gold dragon before she turned and left. Felicity was gone without a word or gesture, practically sprinting out of the room. Felix turned back to his people who had opened the gate. Standing in front of him, glaring up at him, as if he were the most hated person in the world, was Felicia. Her dark curly hair was cut short, her brown eyes locked on him, arms crossed in front of her impressive bust.
Hey, Felicia, Felix said, smiling at her. I'm betting I have you to thank for my rescue.
Felicia's face screwed up from anger to a strange look of desperate relief.
Where have you been? She asked.
Her voice had started to quaver as she spoke.
You've been gone for 3 weeks. No one knew what happened to you. We knew you were alive since the contract magic of Legion still existed, but we didn't know where you were.
By the end, her words had degenerated into a blubbering sob. Getting down a bit, Felix wrapped the smaller dwarven woman in a tight hug.
I'm sorry. I was trapped on the other plane by the deities from this plane, Felix explained. There wasn't anything I could do to get back.
Don't you understand? Without you, we'd lose everything. This is my home, my family. I met my wife here,
Felicia said, her small, thick fingers digging into his back painfully.
If you ever do that again, I'll make a machine to track you down just so I can kill you.
Got it. I'm open to any ideas you come up with to make sure I don't get lost again, Felix said. Implant, tracker, spell, or anything.
Good. I'm gonna make sure it happens to an anal probe, you insufferable wart on a frog's asshole, Felicia said.
Then she backed up and wiped her face with her hands.
Come over for dinner this weekend. Bring Felicity. It was nice having you two over, said the dwarven woman.
Then she thumped him on the shoulder and pushed her way into the crowd.
I don't think that was something I'd ever expect to see.
Then Felix was bowled to the ground under a horde of mewling, whimpering Elex women. Looking just beyond them, he saw smiling Lily and Kit. They looked extremely relieved. Iowana was standing beyond them, comforting a shuddering Felicia. She gave him a half-smile and a shrug of her shoulders. Miu was standing off to one side, her body shivering as she stared at him. It was clear she'd not slept in days, and it looked as if she hadn't even showered. Victoria was right next to her, and she looked as if she'd withered as well. Though she didn't look like she'd gone without showering, she did seem pale and thin, as if she wasn't eating very well and sleeping even less. Even Jessica and Erica were here. Their hands were clutched together tightly, but they were smiling and dressed as if they were ready to conduct an interview.
All right, come on. Get off me, my loves, Felix said, kissing the closest Andrea and then the closest Adriana.
Then he started petting them and scratching at the ears of any he could reach.
I need to make some plans with Vince, and then we can catch up.
Felix said the last bit, looking around at his inner circle lieutenants.
We'll all have a quiet meeting somewhere, some food, and talk. I'm sure a lot's happened, he continued. I also have a lot to tell you all.
Slowly, the Elex sisters started getting up, their tails happily moving back and forth behind them, despite tear-stained eyes. Getting to his feet, Felix brushed himself off quickly. Andrea Prime and Adriana Prime didn't move far off, though. Andrea was still holding onto his hem, and Adriana looked like she wanted to as well.
Gotta remember, I knew I was safe. They didn't. They didn't even know where I was. From their point of view, it's been 3 weeks of not knowing.
Not pushing them away, Felix took a step closer to the two beastkin and waited. He could hear the Elec sisters sniffing lightly. Looking to one side, he caught Erica and Jessica doing the same. Maybe it's a beastkin thing, that they need to touch and smell. Is that why Andrea and Adriana had to dogpile me?
When they realized Felix was watching them, Jessica and Erica became motionless. He waved them over. Jessica moved in an instant, practically dragging Erica behind her when she didn't let go of her hand. Then the fox and the rabbit beastkin latched onto him, hugging him tightly in the same way Adriana and Andrea had.
Yeah, must be a beastkin thing. And since we're thinking about it this way, let's make it easy for Kit. She'll undoubtedly talk to Lily.
With a quick thought, Felix opened his mind up to Kit. He never needed to tell her when he did it. He imagined she was always passively scanning everyone now. She'd be rifling through his thoughts and experiences any second, then relaying the more salient points to Lily and the others. She'd even gotten to the point where she could do it without him noticing. After a few seconds, Erica and Jessica let go and moved around behind him. He got the impression they were standing just behind the Elec sisters, but he didn't look to confirm it.
"Thank you,"
murmured Erica.
"I didn't think we'd get a chance to see you."
There were small grunts of agreement from the Elec sisters, and a softer one that was likely Jessica.
"Yeah, well, I'm not good at this, but even I can realize beastkin have different needs." "Ah, here they come," Felix said.
Chris came around the corner. With her were several beautiful and lightly dressed women. One and all, they looked somewhere between Chris and Goldie in body shape and size. Their horn colors, of course, designated their subspecies of dragon, but also seemed to dictate what their hair color and eye colors could be. They all passed through the portal and went to one side. Then they formed two rows, presumably by their rank in the wing.
"All are here, nestmate, except for Goldie," Chris said.
Felix nodded, looking back into the portal. Half a minute later, Goldie came into the hall. Her eyes found him out immediately, and she gave him a wide grin. Behind her came the elven women. When she passed through the portal, Goldie deliberately walked close to Felix and dragged a finger along his chest as she went. The elves formed two rows of their own next to the dragons. Goldie took her place next to Chris as the second in command.
"You'll have to explain those. Lily isn't upset, but she isn't happy either,"
came the mental warning from Kit. Felix couldn't push his thoughts back at her in the same way, so he just nodded instead. He was sure she could see the back of his head.
"Good. Thank you."
Felicity came back now with Vince. In tow with him were Yaris, Melee, and Fess. Vince stopped just on the other side of the portal while Felicity lightly hopped through and moved past Felix.
"I'm glad to see the portal is back open, brother," Vince said, smiling. "Felicity said you had news from the Emperor?"
"Yes. He just wanted someone to take hostage, bend the knee to him, or kill outright," Felix said simply. "It would seem the Emperor is not very happy with how your war turned out."
"Of course he isn't," Fess said with a snort. "He would have lost if not for us. Or at least, he would have had to actually strip the citadel of guards and weapons."
Vince sighed and nodded once.
"I understand. Sounds like I need to fatten up my western border then, while holding back the wave of refugees from the east."
Shaking his head, Vince stepped through the portal and moved to stand in front of Felix.
"Thank you, brother. I appreciate you handling that for me," he said, reaching out and grabbing Felix by the shoulders.
"Of course. Now, as unbelievable as it may seem, 3 weeks have passed since the portal closed. I must tend to my own problems," Felix said.
Vince nodded and clapped Felix on the shoulder one more time, then turned and headed back to Yosemite.
"He's become rather expressive with me. I feel like the awkward brother all of a sudden."
As he went to take a seat, Felix found himself looking down at the chair under him. It was incredibly inviting compared to what he'd been sitting in recently in Yosemite. Making himself comfortable, he looked around the conference room. Andrea, Adriana, Lily, Kit, Miu, Victoria, Iowana, Jessica, Erica, Chris, Goldie, Felicity, the blonde dryad who seems to stalk me. Where'd Felicia go? She was feeling really drained, said Iowana, who must have known what Felix was about to ask. She went to go take a nap. She's been working on that magical amplifier since the day you vanished. Felix sighed at that. He was grateful for her effort and felt guilty at the same time. He imagined they had all put in work on this. Next to him, Miu sat down forcefully in the chair and stared at him. She reeked of body odor and sweat. Her breath also smelled, as if she hadn't brushed her teeth in a while. Her lips were cracked and her eyes bright red. She was shivering from head to toe. Before she could attack him, lose her grip on herself, or say anything, Felix leaned over and hugged her. Then he gently kissed her cheek and pressed his mouth to her ear.
Miu, my dear little psychopath, would you do me a favor? I would feel infinitely better if you would take a nap. That way, I could know you were watching over me later, Felix said. Take some time to care for yourself and come back to me. I promise I won't go anywhere without you until you feel calm again. All right?
Miu's shivering had stopped as soon as he touched her. Her hands came up behind him and clenched into his back. Then, her head dipped down and she bit him on the neck, hard and sharp. He felt her actually break the skin.
God damn it, really? Here and now?
Grimacing in pain, Felix put a hand behind her head and looked to the others. The only way to keep her from freaking out at this point was to hold her rather than try to push her off.
She gets this thing where she needs to eat something of me, Felix explained to the shocked eyes of everyone around the room.
They all knew she was 5 beers short of a six-pack, but most of the others never saw it.
She'll break off in a little bit. We haven't had an episode like this in a while.
A long while. First, Felix said, ignoring the crazy woman actually drinking his blood and gnawing at his flesh. The Dragon Maidens were given to me for protection. They're my wing, as they call themselves, I suppose. They are more often in their human form than anything else, but they're dragons.
That will make protecting you easier, Victoria said. Will they report to me like the dryads, or...
Felix glanced at his stalker blonde dryad and quickly called up her character sheet. He just wanted to see her name. Name, Faith. Power, none. Alias, none. Physical status, Randy, lustful. Mental status, hopeful. Willing, dazed. Positive statuses, in love, emotional boost 3x. Negative statuses, nervous, lonely. Strength, 63, upgrade, 630. Dexterity, 89, upgrade, 890. Agility, 87, upgrade, 870. Stamina, 61, upgrade, 610. Wisdom, 78, upgrade, 780. Intelligence, 84, upgrade, 840. Luck, 69, upgrade, 690. Primary power, not applicable. Upgrade, not applicable.
Her stats are impressive. No wonder she's the lead dryad bodyguard.
I'd like you and Miu to stop acting as bodyguards and focus on inner security consultant work, plus whatever projects I assign you. I need you closer, more able to flex to my needs. Turn the bodyguard stuff over to Chris and Faith. They can handle it well between the two of them, Felix said, indicating the dryad. I get the impression their goals are the same, so they'll work well together. Faith, the dryad, looked stunned at his words.
I'm honored and flattered that you know my name, Felix, Faith said.
True. She never actually told me her name, did she? This was also the first time he'd heard her speak. Her voice was warm and smooth, lower-toned, but not masculine.
I will make sure your dryad bodyguard meshes with your wing and your elves. We will take care of all your needs,
Faith promised. Felix wasn't quite comfortable with how she hit all as hard as she did, but he understood where she was coming from. She was a nymph, after all.
Speaking of the elves, they're next. Felicity, could you give them a brief rundown? Felix asked.
He needed a break to pry Miu off and get her situated. Felicity could handle explaining that the elves were a point drop and a recruiting tool. Turning his head inward, He pressed his lips up to Mew's ear.
Can you let go now? I promise I'll not punish you in any way. I understand completely, and I know it was hard on you, Felix said soothingly. Just take a nap. Relax. Care for yourself. That's what I want. Okay? I'm telling you exactly what I want.
Felix was very careful about telling Mew what he wanted of her. Her reactions were almost always over the top, but this time, she didn't seem like she was going to give up his neck anytime soon. Her lips slowly peeled away from him, but she didn't move away yet.
You want me to rest? And care for myself?
Mew asked, her voice a rasp.
Yes, I want you to care for yourself. I want you to get some rest, and then come back and take care of me, okay? I need you, Mew, Felix said. I need you, and I need you to be in tip-top condition for me.
Mew nodded her head minutely.
You need me. Yes, I do. Now, will you please take care of yourself?
Mew nodded once more, then let go of him. Rather than moving away, though, she lay down on the ground right next to his chair, closed her eyes, and immediately fell asleep. Underneath him, practically. Sighing, Felix leaned back into his chair. Before he could do anything about the bite, Goldie had a cool hand pressed to his neck with some type of fabric. Glancing down, he realized it was a bandage. Thanks, Goldie, Felix smiled up at the dragon. She gave him a bright smile and a wink.
Bring in more elves, Felicity said.
She glanced at Felix as if to see if he was done with his situation.
Great, thank you, Felicity, Felix said, then looked at Kit and Lily. Now, what do I need to know immediately? I get the impression things are starting to spin out of control.
The government canceled one of our contracts, Lily said.
She looked like she was annoyed, but not upset. He imagined she wanted to pull him off somewhere alone and talk. She simply did better in one-on-one situations.
It was a police precinct contract. They brought in a whole bunch of rookies, retired cops, and military police to fill it out, she continued. I get the impression this is a test for doing the same to the rest.
Felix thought on that. He didn't disagree with Lily's assessment, except he felt like it was actually much larger than a single contract. This was a phased test and solution run. Figure out if they could handle canceling a contract, rapidly filling the gap and taking over. There were two options for Legion here. Let them take over one by one and ease the band-aid off, limiting the loss of resources from both sides. Or cancel every contract he had with Wall. Cancel them all and let the country fall on its sword. It'd eliminate the antitrust case, remove Legion from the problem, and shoulder all the blame on the government. He could get Jessica and Erica working on this tonight even. They'd come dressed for an interview. He could give them one and let that work its way through the public. Then do it. Cut every contract. Dump every hold, call in every debt, release every position Legion held. Focus down to the businesses that were Legion-owned and operated.
We could pull out of every contract, Kit said. It'd cost us, and public opinion, but I know you already have a thought on that. The financial cost would be worse than anything else. It might cripple the economy to a degree if public faith in the government drops too far too fast.
Felix drummed his fingers along the armrest of his chair. The soft snore of Mew's deep sleep was the only other noise.
Is the summit still ongoing? Felix asked suddenly.
Yes,
Lily said.
And the chair on Legion's use of force to prohibit religion is still going as well.
If we canceled all those contracts, they wouldn't have much of a leg to stand on for anything going forward, Felix said. We'd be out of the government entirely.
Slowly, his thought crystallized into a single fact. He didn't want to work with Wall anymore. Felix wanted out, to hunker down and let whatever happened, happen. He had been playing this game with them for a while now, and it was time his business motto lived on.
Legion first, Felix said aloud. Drop all the contracts, cancel everything, and bring everyone back in. But before you do that,
Felix paused to look at Jessica and Erica.
I'd like to have some time with you two, Felix said. An interview for each of you, here in Legion.
We'll not cut the contracts until you two have the chance to drop your stories, preferably at the same time.
Erica took in a slow breath and then nodded, her long ears bobbing.
Sure thing, Felix.
Jessica smiled at him.
We can do that.
Looking back to Kit and Lily, Felix coughed into his hand to clear his throat. He was starting to feel a bit parched.
Let's pull everyone in who is working security, military or civilian, get them armed, armored, and sent over the portal. Vince could use a hand, I think, Felix said. I believe his general, Petra, would be the best person for them to roll up to for the time being. Though if I don't miss my guess, our people will probably just end up guarding a wall with rifles.
Iowana nodded, her hand moving slowly back and forth as she took written notes. It was such a drastic change in her that he barely recognized her as War Maiden anymore. In fact, that was the way of it for almost everyone in Legion. Who you were before didn't matter as soon as you became a Legionnaire.
Anything else? Felix asked.
Everyone shook their heads.
All right, then the last thing I want to do is sink Blake. I want the voting blocks gerrymandered in our favor. I want those blocks so twisted over I don't even care if it looks like a garden hose. I want his constituents to think he's the devil incarnate, Felix said. Pull out every trick in the book to get him off the winner's podium.
Kit and Lily nodded at that, though the former looked a touch unhappy about it.
Great. Let's get this done with. I'd like to sit back and watch the flames burn comfortably from a distance, Felix said.
Lunch?
Andrea asked, smiling at him from her place at the table. Her ears were perked up and her tail was moving gently behind her.
Yeah. Let's do that. I'd love to just catch up with you all, Felix said, and he meant it.
He'd been pushing Legion upward to ever greater heights, except there were too many people working against him now. He just wanted to sit back for a bit and let Legion catch a breath. Then we'll move on. Chris leaned down over him and pulled whatever gold he had used as a bandage away from his neck. Then she ducked her head in close and started to gently lick at the wound.
It'll help it heal, Goldie said as Chris did it.
Felix didn't care anymore. It had been a long month. Instead, he reached up and gently stroked Chris's horns. The Black Dragon didn't seem to react negatively to the touch, so he continued.
What are we eating, then? He asked,
feeling a bit like some sort of supervillain.
Except it's a Black Dragon instead of a cat.
Chapter 24 Mending Fences.
Lily had caught Felix's eyes after they'd finished eating lunch. She'd clearly been waiting for him to look her way. It was then obvious she wanted him to meet up with her. She'd even tapped her wrist communicator once, giving him a smile. Then Felix had been thrown into a whirlwind of activity and hadn't gotten a chance to check it. First he had Miu delivered back to her room, with a 5-second recording of him telling her what he wanted sent to her email box, her wrist communicator, and her television. He'd sent a few Adrianas to do it. They wouldn't panic at Miu's living quarters. They were more battle-hardened veterans of Elex women from the original Myriad, after all. Felix had seen it a few times, and it was exactly what you would expect from someone who probably needed to be locked in a cell for all time. After that, he'd changed quickly into some fresh clothes, then gone straight into an interview with Jessica and Erica, making sure to flirt shamelessly with them all the while. The Beastkin vote was going to be important in the fight against Blake. With some well-placed gerrymandering, the Beastkin population in certain blocks should overwhelm the rest of the group they were lumped together with. Now, some 3 hours after Lily had pantomimed her wrist, Felix was able to check it. Trying to do so at any other time would have just been too much, since he wasn't sure what he was looking for. Flipping through his emails, he found nothing. Then he checked his appointments for the rest of the day. Huh. She booked a meeting for me on my calendar. One-on-one with Lillian Lux. Topic, repeated marital relations. Location, in our bed. Felix reread the invite once more just to make sure he got it right. Not that there was much to double-check. She's certainly being cute and playful, isn't she? Closing the invite, Felix moved down the hall. His plan was to go straight toward his personal quarters he shared with Lily, Andrea Prime, and Adriana Prime.
which was two hallways, an elevator, a checkpoint, and another hallway away. Glancing at his watch, he saw he had about 20 minutes to make what was a 5-minute trip. Ghosting along behind him as he walked were Goldie, Faith, and a high elf. The rest of his bodyguards were on stand-down. They were all bunked up in general quarters on the same level as his personal quarters that functioned as their base of operations. Apparently, all the old bodyguards had been detailed elsewhere, and the dryads, elves, and dragons had moved in. Amongst that group, they'd be able to handle anything thrown at Felix. Stepping into the elevator, Felix dodged to one side and let everyone inside. Faith tapped the appropriate button for his floor and pressed her personalized ring to the security scanner. A soft beep recognized her permission, and the door slid shut.
"Security looks good so far," Goldie said, her eyes moving to Felix. "You have developed a strong force of people, even if they lack soldier experience."
Felix wanted to argue at that point, but after seeing Yosemite, he wasn't quite sure anymore. His people were great when using their tech to its advantage. Brief skirmishes weren't a problem either. But a full-out war? Felix wasn't so sure.
"Do you want me to heal the bite?"
Faith asked. "Hmm? No. Mia will want to see it when she wakes up. She'll probably sniff it too. Ask me if anyone saw it," Felix said with a sigh.
"I briefly touched her thoughts. She was playing with her ring and pulled it off for a second. Her love for you is endless and dangerous,"
Goldie said with a smirk.
"I think she'd fight me in hand-to-hand combat if you promised her a kiss for it."
"Dangerous. Well, that's one way to put it, I guess. Also should probably get all the dragons' HR rings so they can poke into the thoughts of those legionnaires around me. Just like HR. The elevator dinged, and the doors slid open. There was a checkpoint right here. The guards manning the entry made no exceptions for him, even if he was the reason for the checkpoint. Felix was forced to badge in and provide a retinal scan. Goldie, Faith, and the elf did likewise before they moved on into the next hallway around the bend. At the end of the hall were two doors. One led to Felix's personal suite, and the other to the general quarters for his bodyguards. Standing in front of those doors was Victoria.
"Ah, we'll stand down and do a shift change," Faith said. "Please let us know when you're ready to leave."
The three bodyguards had apparently gotten the hint that Victoria wanted to talk to him alone long before he did. They moved up ahead of him and marched into the bodyguard quarters without a word. Victoria was standing perfectly still, dressed in casual wear. She had on a calf-length green dress with a black belt around the middle. Her hair was done up as well, and for all the world, she looked more like a citizen than he'd ever seen her before. She eyed the door to the bodyguard quarters as it closed, then looked back at Felix as he walked up to her.
"Welcome home, Felix,"
Victoria's fingers locked together in front of her.
"We were all very worried about you."
Felix had an idea where this was going. He wasn't stupid or blind, just reticent and slow to act. Remember, they had no idea what was going on. Be nice, give them attention. "You look lovely, Vicky. That dress really pulls the eyes to the right spots and fits your frame. Would you mind if I asked you out to dinner tonight? Providing that you went as you are dressed right now, that is," Felix said, jumping straight to what he felt would be her question. Her dark green eyes were glued to him now. She blinked twice and nodded slightly. "Great. Would you mind if I took you to Legion's? Apparently they keep that booth open for me just in case I drop by." "We wouldn't need reservations," Felix offered. "I just show up as me." Victoria nodded a bit more forcefully now.
"Yes. That'd be... yes, yes. Good."
She smiled at him. "Great. Would you like me to pick you up or meet you there?" Felix asked.
Meet at the Fist Monument?
"Sure. How's 7 o'clock sound?"
7. At the Fist,"
Victoria said back to him, confirming the details. "In that dress," Felix said, indicating her waistline.
"In this dress,"
she agreed, smiling at him. "Until then." Felix gently moved past her. Opening the door to his personal quarters, he stepped in and closed it behind him. Moving in past the entryway, Felix undid his tie and loosened the top several buttons on his shirt. He dressed in a hurry for the interviews, with a shave and an impromptu sponge bath in a chair so they could hurry up. It had left him feeling like he needed a real shower and to change his clothes. Lily was sitting in what he'd affectionately come to refer to as her thinking chair. It was a comfy thing that sucked you into it. She seemed to prefer it when she wanted to think and not work.
"Pretty sure that's not the meeting location," Felix said, walking over to her.
"And you're early."
Lily looked up at him with a small smile. Coming to a stop next to her, he reached down and gently smoothed her hair back, his fingertips caressing her hairline and scalp.
"I missed you," Felix murmured.
Lily closed her eyes and leaned her head into his hand.
"As I missed you, though I'm not quite pleased at the company you brought back, even if I do understand it."
"I didn't think you'd like it, but I didn't have many options at the time. I truly thought I'd be stuck there for a while," Felix said, curling some of her hair around her ear.
"I know, I get it. I even agree with it. I don't know."
Lily sighed. She slumped deep into her chair, her skirt riding up to her hips and her jacket stretching at her chest.
"She must really be frustrated. She usually takes great care not to muss her clothes."
"Talk to me," Felix said, gently rubbing his fingertips along her scalp.
"I had a really long talk with Fess, you'll remember,"
Lily said.
"I do."
"She talked to me about how I'm the Fess here, and I need to bring more women into contact with you and bind them to our family. That doing so would make you strong and keep you safe,"
Lily said.
"That wasn't all of it, of course, and I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of it, I guess."
Lily was looking forward again now, her pretty face wound up in a scowl.
"And the worst part is I understood to a degree. Then I hated her. Then myself. Then you,"
Lily grumbled. She lifted her chin up and looked at him.
"Was Vicky still outside the door? I got the impression she was waiting for you, standing there in that pretty dress and all,"
Lily said.
"She was. I took the initiative and invited her to dinner rather than put her through it. I've been making plans with all my inner lieutenants to give them some face time," Felix admitted quickly.
"That's a good idea,"
Lily nodded.
"Even if it isn't her intention."
"No, clearly it wasn't. But I'll not be taking that road," Felix said with a chuckle.
"Do I satisfy you? Do I give you everything you need? I try really hard to figure out what you like and want,"
Lily said, the subject veering to a different direction entirely.
"I'm not as adventurous as Andrea or Adriana, but between the three of us, we hit your needs, right?"
"Ah, I understand."
Leaning down, Felix kissed Lily tenderly and then tapped her nose with a fingertip.
"You give me everything I want and more. I was being dumb not long ago and didn't tell you about what was stressing me out. Felicity saw through it and cracked me open, despite my own wishes," Felix said. "That's on me, not you."
Lily chewed at her lower lip, her eyes looking into his face.
"Promise? I love you, Felix. I don't want to think I'm failing you in some way. You've always done everything for me that I want, even when I don't know I want it. And that doesn't even take my brother into account. Did I tell you he's on Legion Prime with Eva? They're doing coursework under Michael together."
Lily shook her head with a bemused smile.
"I think he has a thing for Eva. But that takes me right back to my problem. I sometimes don't feel like I give back to you what you give to me."
"For one of the smartest people I've ever met, you're kind of dumb sometimes," Felix said with a grin.
Lifting her chin, Lily raised her eyebrows.
"I could always suck your soul out and give it back to you, you know, my love,"
she said.
"I am and will always be Mab."
Snickering, Felix pressed his forehead to hers and kissed her again.
"Love you, Mab. You and your evil, sultry ways. Now how can I ease your burdens?"
Lily's eyes fluttered, her breath shortening.
"You're making me dizzy. Kiss me some more,"
she murmured, her hands coming up to grab at the sides of his coat. Two dryads in heavy sweatshirts and cargo pants moved into the Civic Center public library ahead of him. Their SMGs were snuggled up against their chests, the thick fabric distorting the small boxy outline of the weapons entirely. On his left, two elves were engaged in a quiet conversation moving in the same direction. They were both sorceresses, the magical support in his current bodyguard unit. Behind him and to the right, two dragons walked arm in arm. They both carried pistols inside their clothes, but they would primarily be relying on their enhanced physical